You are listening to a sermon from MCA Church. To learn more about our community, head online to mcachurch.ca. Thanks.
Not because I'm good at evangelism, in fact, because I'm quite bad at it. But I've learned some lessons the hard way, and I want to share those things with you. And I chose a passage from Acts chapter 8, and it's interestingly, it's a story that Keith used a couple of weeks ago to talk about baptism. This is an incredibly rich story, the story of the Ethiopian eunuch and the apostle Philip. When I was a missionary in Africa, I had heard a couple of sparkling sermons by local preachers on this story because, as you could imagine, for black Christians, for Africans, this is a story where they find their people already knit into the story of the church from the very beginning. Christianity, the gospel, not being something that white people gave them a couple hundred years ago, but from the very beginning, God integrating his African continent into the story of the church. And it's a wonderful story for baptism, too. I think it's also a wonderful story for helping us think a little bit about how we share our faith with others, what we call evangelism. So hear God's word. I'm going to read from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. Hear the word of the Lord. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasure of the Kandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, was sitting in the chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot, and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized. And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him any again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Amen. Almighty God, add your blessing to the reading and to the proclamation of the word. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, to whom all scripture points. Amen. So this story from Acts chapter 8 is one of my favorites. It shows the early church, after the Spirit is poured out at Pentecost, reaching out to people of different races and places with the good news of what God has done in Jesus Christ. It's like the gospel is radiating from this epicenter in Jerusalem to new countries, to new peoples. The church is sharing its faith in this marvelous thing that God has done in Jesus Christ. And here we have the very first black African becoming a follower of Jesus. He's a powerful bureaucrat, like a diplomat, from the land that in Bible times was called Ethiopia, or in the Old Testament, Nubia. I can show this slide. I have a map. There it is. It's called Cush, or Nubia, in the Bible. This powerful man serves in the court of the great queen of the Ethiopians, the great Nubian queen, the Kandake. And in a conversation with Philip, he hears for the very first time that God's son, Jesus, died and was resurrected, not just for Israel, but for all people, including Africans like him or Europeans like many of us. And he's then baptized as a follower of Jesus. It's just a great story to remind us that the church has a mission in the power of the Spirit to share the good news of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, what God has done for the salvation of the world. And often in church talk, we call this sharing evangelism. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians, you bring up the next slide, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. It's a marvelous, marvelous verse. When we gather, as we are doing now, to worship as a church, God is making his appeal to the world through us. And when we go as the church from here out into the world, into your workplace, into the school, into your home, whatever we do for the good and the true and the beautiful and the peaceful, we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal to a broken world through us. And then, of course, when we share our faith with friends or family, a word of truth, a word of grace, a word of comfort or challenge, God is making his appeal through us. So it's imperative, it's essential that we share our faith with others. So comes God's kingdom. Evangelism is an essential thing for the church to do. We need to share our faith with others. Now, I know I just lost about half of you with that sentence. We need to share our faith with others. You all agree with me, right? You just don't want to do it, right? Some of you are looking indignantly at me, like, how dare he? Come on. You know, I've been a pastor for a long time. I've been a Christian for a long time. I know what we're thinking. A lot of Christian folks, we're just not comfortable with the idea of sharing our faith with others, right? Like, I'm not that kind of person. It makes me uncomfortable. It's awkward. And some of you are thinking, yeah, I'd like to, but I'm afraid, actually. What if What if someone asks me a question and I don't know the answer? You're thinking, looking at me, easy for you to talk, Pastor. I don't have a degree in theology like you do. What if I get one of those hard questions and I don't know what to say? So we're afraid. And then some of you are just cynics. And you're thinking, what? Evangelism? That's what we pay our pastoral staff to do. We don't need to do that. Now, I hear you. I've said all these objections myself. I know what we're thinking. See, I'm an off-the-chart introvert. So talking to others about Jesus, sharing my faith, does not come easy to me. And I'm not very good at it. But I'm more and more convinced that now, more than ever, we need, as churches, we need to learn how to share our faith with others, how to witness to Jesus. Especially now after COVID, we need to reach out to those people who are hurting in our community, those people who've left us, and those people who never knew they needed us to begin with. I was talking to one of my colleagues in my denomination in the Lower Mainland, and he was just sharing a story with me. There was a young woman, he was about to baptize her. So I asked, how did this come about? And he said, during COVID, his church decided to run Alpha. You know Alpha, this is an evangelism program. And if you know anything about my church denomination, the Reformed Church, we're good at many things, but sharing our faith is not one of them. So this was a big step for this church, and they reached out on a whim to one of the local recovery homes that was supported by their church. And a number of the young women who were in alcohol addiction recovery joined the Alpha program, and this one girl was moved by the Spirit. She wanted to become a Christian. She wanted to be baptized. It was wonderful. We rejoiced with him as he was sharing this story. But he explained it like this. Her mother, who wasn't a Christian, said, you know, why did you choose this church of all the churches in Abbotsford to be baptized in? And she said, I don't feel like I chose this church. I feel like this church chose me. I thought, what a wonderful way of putting it. Don't you want this church to be like that? The church that chooses others, where people come in and they say, I didn't choose Mission Creek Alliance. I felt like they chose me. But how do we do that? How do we start this hard work of beginning to share our faith with others? And again, I'm going to share a few things I've learned, God's taught me, from this story in Acts chapter 8. And everything I'm sharing with you has been hard won, okay? None of this comes naturally to me. But God called me into a job as a campus pastor where I spend much of my time talking about faith and sharing my faith with staff, with students. Some of them are Christian, but many of them are not. And I've learned a few things. And maybe the first thing that I want to share with you is this, that sharing our faith with others definitely takes us out of our comfort zone. It's awkward. And it's okay to admit this. If you feel hesitation or awkwardness about talking to other people, even family members, about Jesus, there's nothing wrong with you. You're not a bad Christian, okay? We know this from our story. Now, notice where this story takes place. Can you bring up the next slide, please? Philip is working in the urban part of the Holy Land. He's ministering in cities. And then God calls him to go to the desert. Some of our translations will say the desert road. Some of them will say the wilderness road. And God calls him to go out and do this in the middle of the day. See, this phrase, go toward the south, is also translated, depending on what Bible you're using, as go at noon. Because back then, people used the sun to measure both direction and time. It means the same thing. So, Philip, go at noon out into the desert. What is the desert like in the middle of the day? It's hot. It's like Kelowna hot in July, right? People in the Middle East do not travel in the desert in the middle of the day. This is not an accident that it's in the story. Philip is being called into an uncomfortable place to share his faith. Philip is being moved from his comfort zone to a place where he feels awkward, where he's stretched. I think the Spirit of God does the same thing with us as individuals and as a church. Calls us out of our comfort zone to share faith with others. And I find it makes it easier for me as a kind of super introvert just to admit this. Even an apostle found it uncomfortable to share his faith. Doesn't that make you feel better? Yeah. How many introverts are in here, by the way? Oh, there's lots of us, right? When we're in scenarios where we share our faith with others and we feel awkward, we feel hesitant, we feel uncomfortable, that is not because the Spirit is absent. It's because the Spirit is present and He's moving us. He's moving us into this conversation. And this is the second point. These uncomfortable conversations that the Spirit calls us into don't just happen. God calls us into them. He's before the conversation, He's throughout the conversation, and He's responsible for the conversation and whatever happens afterwards. All these conversations where we might be talking about Jesus and sharing the good news. And this is a comfort to us. In fact, it should give us some confidence. Yes, talking about Jesus with our friends, our family, coworkers, strangers might push us out of our comfort zone. But God is in it and through it all. And again, we know this from our story. Let's bring up the next slide, please. This story begins in God, and it ends in God, and He's throughout the whole conversation. Story begins in him, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip. And long before Philip had even showed up on the scene, the Spirit had been at work in the life of this Ethiopian eunuch. He is half a continent away from his home. He's worshiping at the temple in Jerusalem. He's reading Holy Scripture. He's seeking, isn't he? He wants to find the truth. God is at work in this man. And then this conversation between Philip and the Ethiopian happened through the Spirit. Verse 29, the Spirit says to Philip, go and join this chariot. And then the story ends with God. Verse 39, and they came up out of the water, and the Spirit of the Lord carries Philip away. See, God is building His church, and God is building His kingdom. Evangelism, sharing our faith with others, is a sovereign work of God. He makes His appeal to the world through us. We're His instruments, but it's God who's at work. And this gives us confidence. I mean, imagine you run into your friend at Costco. She's not a believer. She's telling you, though, and as you pass by in the big aisle, that she's struggling. She's just having a crisis in her life. And you want to say something hopeful, right? You want to share with her how your faith in Jesus maybe got you through a tough time in life. Maybe you want to share a scripture verse with her. Maybe you just want to end the words, I'm going to pray for you, at the end of the conversation. But we kind of balk, though, right? Oh, we're in a public spot. It's awkward. What if someone hears me? I mean, I said this to myself all the time. Even just to say the words, I'm going to pray for you, can be hard in a public spot. But this encounter did not just happen. God has moved you together. He is at work. We live and move and have our being in Him. And He is at work making His appeal to the world through us. He has bumped you two together in Costco. We need to believe that by faith. And He's going to use whatever comes out of your mouth for good. I don't know if I'd be able to handle my work on a secular university campus if I wasn't constantly reminding myself that like Philip, the Spirit of the ascended Christ is before, behind, and in front of all of our conversations about Jesus. God prepares his church for these encounters. Even if we don't know it, even if we don't feel it, we believe it. Now, what else can we learn from this passage? It's a rich story, and I could probably say all sorts of things. I'm just going to focus on one more thing. And maybe it's the most important in terms of just the practicality of how we go about evangelizing, how we go about sharing our faith with others. And it's this. It's the power of questions. Questions are the key to great conversations about faith. Genuine conversation. Conversation in which we share our faith. Most Christians hesitate to talk about Jesus with others, to share their faith, because we think we don't have the right answers. Correct? You agree? Most of you? Yeah? We don't think we have the right answers, so we don't say anything at all. What am I supposed to say to that person's conundrum, to their crisis? Answers can be important, for sure. But good questions are usually far more important than having the right answer. Good questions are usually far more important in a conversation than having the right answer. Watch what happens in our story. Before anything else, Philip listens. Did you catch that? When we say the word evangelism, we immediately think about talking, right? Oh, what am I going to say? Philip listens. You can bring up the slide if you haven't already. Philip doesn't talk. He listens. We need to let this sink in. This is really important. The Ethiopian is reading out loud. Philip doesn't speak. He's listening to him. And then when Philip speaks, he gives a sermon? No. He asks a question. Do you understand what you're reading? That's a simple question, isn't it? You could ask that question. I could ask that question to a friend. And then the Ethiopian asks Philip a question. Well, how can I? Look at all these questions. They're starting to come back and forth now. Then Philip jumps into his chariot. No. The text says very carefully. Then the Ethiopian invites Philip into his chariot. Or to sit down for a coffee with him, or to go for a beer with him, or to give him his cell phone number. You get where I'm going, right? A relationship is forming here. Philip isn't just sharing words. He's sharing his life with this Ethiopian eunuch. And then more questions come. After reading the passage of scripture from Isaiah, the eunuch asks Philip to explain it. And then he asks Philip to baptize him. And these last two questions are very important because they show us that Philip isn't he's not ramming an agenda down this Ethiopian eunuch's throat. He's not got an agenda. He's not pushing a tract at him. He's not knocking on his door uninvited like certain people did last week to me when I was watching Netflix. You know who I'm talking about, right? Philip's listening. And then he's responding by asking questions. And all these questions back and forth are the mark of a good conversation about faith, because questions are one of the main ways that the Holy Spirit makes his appeal to the world through us. And what I mean is that questions can be how Jesus' Spirit speaks into a person's life, a word of comfort or a word of challenge. Jesus did this in his own ministry all the time. Who do you say I am? Why are you so afraid? These are questions that invite response. They're open-ended questions. And I think these are questions that begin conversations about things that really matter. These are questions that begin conversations about the gospel. And I think the ascended Christ who rules his church does the same now through his church in the power of the Spirit. He poses questions to the world, to this broken world, to sinful people, a word that might transform or convert. And on our lips, it might be questions that Jesus himself used. You know, who do you think Jesus is? Might be something even more simple. How are you really doing after COVID? Are you okay? There's no end to the kind of questions we might ask. They're extremely powerful. When I work with students, especially students who aren't Christians or who are Christians, but they think they're losing faith or they've outgrown their faith, I like to pose some hard questions to them. I often borrow these questions from a notorious book by Jack Kerouac called On the Road. You can bring up the next slide. This is one of the famous beat novels of the mid-20th century. And the two main characters are on a road trip, and they run into a farmer, and the farmer poses this classic question to them. Hey, you boys going to get somewhere? Or are you just going? This is a great question to ask students, right, who think they're going somewhere, who aren't sure where they're going. This is a question that disarms. Questions are powerful, powerful things in the hands of believers. And the last thing I wanted to say, just in connection to this point about the power of questions, is that when Philip asks questions of the Ethiopian eunuch, it shows that he values this Ethiopian person as a unique person. As a unique person with a particular story. In fact, it shows that he loves this person, I think, because he's listening to them. He's listening to this man, and he's asking questions that intersect an actual person's life at that moment. And this, I think, is really important because I've heard that in some churches that do evangelism, they often have a kind of set question, like, you know, knock knock on the door. Hi, if you were to die right now, do you know if you'd go to heaven or not? Have you heard these kind of questions before? Maybe you've even used them. I'm not sure it's very effective. If you disagree, you can talk to me after the service. It's fine. I'm not sure they're very effective. Because a question like that's sort of preset, doesn't connect with a person's unique story, their moment in life. I think it's far better to do what Philip did, which is to listen carefully to what's going on in that person's life and then to ask questions that engage that person. Philip does this. What are you reading? Do you understand it? Can I join you? This reminds me of what one of my favorite theologians, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, says in his book, Life Together. He reminds us that the great commandment for Christians is to love God and love our neighbor. And he says, we show our love for God first and foremost by listening to his word, right? We show we love our neighbor first and foremost by listening to their word. It's a great act of love. And I think in our time, in our fast-paced day, we've undervalued how important it is just to listen to a story and ask questions that draw out that story and then give us the opportunity to share from our own experience what Jesus Christ has done for us, how Scripture has helped us, how we've been transformed. You know, Jesus, as we believe, is the answer. He's the answer to questions that arise from unique people. People in particular seasons of life, moments, people with very different sins, different fears, burdens, and hurts. We want to listen to those stories. That's the key to being able to share our faith well, I think, is listening to those stories. then asking questions that engage those people and their stories. You know, evangelism is intimidating if you think that it means we have to have the answers to people's questions and we have to know everything. I don't think it's intimidating if we think of evangelism or sharing our faith as foremost listening carefully, asking questions as a relationship emerges. We can all do that, right? It's not that hard. And then we have the chance to share with our new friend or our old family member how we've experienced Jesus and how we think, what we think the Bible is telling us to do. So those are just a few things about sharing our faith that I've learned as a recovering introvert in my line of work. And I hope they're helpful. And I thought what I'd do just in closing is take 2 minutes and tell you a quick story about how I've just seen some of this from what we've learned in Acts come together, kind of coalesce in some of my own work. You can bring up the last slide, please. So during COVID, my campus ministry worked very closely with the Muslim Student Association on campus to organize interfaith conversations. Here are a couple of the adverts that we had. You can see the topics. We talked about keeping faith during COVID, and another one was on time, like holidays and holy days and that kind of thing. And the goal of these interfaith conversations isn't to try to make Muslims become Christians or vice versa. It's really just to help us understand where we're different and yet how together, with respect and love, we can appreciate each other's differences. In a sense, we're sharing our faith. Christians are sharing their faith with Muslims. Muslim students are sharing their faith with Christian students. And questions are prominent. And questions drive the whole event when we do it. Why do you believe this? Why do you do that? One of the good questions. Why do Christians worship an Easter bunny? What does it have to do with Jesus? These are real questions, right? New students from another country, confused by our traditions. It's a great question to ask. So there's a couple of students who are taking part in this. These two young men, quite shy. In fact, sometimes they have their camera off during Zoom. You know what I mean, right? In a Zoom meeting, you can turn your camera off so you're listening, but no one's seeing you. Very annoying. But they're doing it because they're shy. And I know them well, and they'd said to me, quite frankly, you know, we don't know the Bible as well as we should, and we don't have very many answers, so we just want to listen. And after one of our events, one of the Muslim students, via Facebook Messenger, sends a question to these two Christian students. She finds them on Facebook Messenger, so she wants to continue the conversation. Now, I don't know any of this is happening. I'm told about this afterwards, which is wonderful, right? So questions are going back and forth on Facebook Messenger about Islam and Christianity. And those questions then move to the coffee shop where the conversation continues. A relationship is beginning to form. And again, these students are way out of their comfort zone, right? They're not prepared for answers, but they've invested in this student, this particular young woman, and they're trying to answer her questions as best they can, but they're also asking questions of her. I love all this stuff. And then this great question comes from the young woman, the young Muslim woman. She says, can I come to church with you sometime? I'd like to learn more about Jesus. Isn't that remarkable? This all happened gradually, organically, and through a relationship. So by the end of the summer, this Muslim student was occasionally going to church with these two young students. I don't know what will happen to her, but I know that God is behind this, because he's behind all these encounters we have. He's in and through all these conversations we have. And my hope and prayer is that for this young Muslim woman, she too will go on her way rejoicing, like the Ethiopian eunuch did, because she's encountered Jesus Christ. So I want you to take heart and have courage to share the good news. You don't have to have all the answers. We have to love our neighbor enough to listen to them and then ask questions that touch their lives, meaningful questions that connect with them. And in doing that, God is working in us to point them to the answer, his son Jesus Christ. I hope that our churches here in Kelowna will become better at sharing our faith. But there's no gimmicks, there's no tricks. There's just the humility to listen to the Spirit, to be moved out of our comfort zone, and to see every opportunity, every encounter as something that God is at work at. To love our neighbor, to listen to our neighbor, and to ask questions. And in doing all this, God makes his appeal to our broken, hurting city. His son is glorified, and his kingdom comes. Amen. Let me ask just a short prayer as the worship team comes up. This is a prayer based on 2 Thessalonians. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. May he encourage the hearts of this congregation and strengthen them in every good word and good deed. Amen.